You know, this election season that we've been through, man, it seemed like it took a decade. They started way back then and just kept going. So, you know, hopefully it's over for a while and we can regain our senses. But I would actually say that that's probably hopeful thinking, wishful thinking. Because I think the reality is the issues that were present in this election season are still here. And the discussion is going to continue. Regardless of who won the election, you know, the popular vote was so close that we see what really is happening is this, there's a spiritual battle going on for the soul of America and the country. And, you know, we, throughout this whole election season have stayed away from politics. And this morning I want to build on the reason for that a little bit. Last week we talked about how Jesus dealt with the government, responded to the government, because during his time that he was here, his people were under the oppression of the Roman government, and they were not Jewish. They did not appreciate the Jews. And there was opposition there. So regardless of where we feel we are, if we're in opposition with the government or we like how the government's going, we have to ask ourselves, what should we believe? What should we believe? The thing about politics is there's essentially two sides, right? And each side has differing opinions. And today's message is designed to pull out of us what is our source of authority. Okay, we're going to have differing opinions in politics, but what should we believe? And Jesus is what I would call the voice of grace. And within his kingdom, you know, he sets the politics. He sets the rules. And so we want to spend time learning what those are and how to live in them. So turn to Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1. And I may repeat this a few times in the message, but, you know, the first question I want to ask this morning and challenge us with is, what is our source of authority on things? What is our source of authority on what we believe and what we say? What is the source of authority here in the country? And it's my desire, my hope, that when you leave today, throughout the week, that question pops up back in your mind, and you start asking yourself, and you start challenging yourself, and you start speaking things out, that you will also, wait a minute, what's the source of authority for that? If you're in Romans 1, let's read verses 21 through 23. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And I want to pause there for a second. That describes a huge majority of our country. Our country started out where the majority of people worshiped God. They knew God. They listened. They heard what he said, and they tried to do what he said. And I don't know that I'd get a whole lot of argument from anyone that today that would not be true. That there's probably a majority of people that maybe know about God, but they don't believe in God. They don't obey what God says. They don't seek him out. They don't pursue. They don't follow him. I'm not talking about, you know, a false profession where, oh, yeah, I know God. I mean, whenever they do those surveys on the street and they ask if you know God or you consider yourself a Christian, so many people will say, yeah, but then when you follow-up questions are asked, and it becomes obvious. They're just saying, yeah, they don't really. So they, you know, in our country, people know of God. And they do not honor him as God or give thanks anymore. And that's what I think the motivation, the inspiration for this Thursday service is, to get together and give thanks. You know, we need to thank God. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I don't know what your translation might say, but becoming futile means it's a lost cause. They're confused. They're lost. In their speculations. Speculations are not really facts, are they? They're, well, it could be, or I think I'm going to go and do this. And the foolish heart, the heart that does not believe that there's a God, that does not receive God, is a foolish heart. And it can become darkened. It can become closed off and hardened. Verse 22. These people are professing to be wise. So even though they think they're wise, and maybe in some areas they are, and maybe in education or certain careers, they're wise. Maybe people that they know consider them to be wise. They lift them up and ask questions of them because they consider them to be wise. Or they're wise only because they've told everybody they're wise.
Or they have Google.
Google. Yes. Wait a minute, I gotta Google that real quick. They became fools. Why? Because it was, firstly, it becomes obvious. We can only carry it out and hide it for so long. But look what verse 23 says. They became fools, and then they did something. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. In other words, they looked up to a particular man or themselves as a god. So they exchanged this holy, incorruptible God for man, somebody that's corruptible. And I could not help but think in our political system over the last number of years how, you know, we may have voted in good faith for people who didn't turn out to be the credible, honest, diligent person that they said they were. They became corrupted. They exchanged the incorruptible God for an image in the form of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. We think this sounds silly. It sounds below us. What intelligent person in America could possibly do that? But it happens a lot. You know, a real simple one. When I was a kid, not knowing any better, we all had those rabbit's foot keychains, right? You know, we got those because, boy, we had that, and we were going to have luck. We had a pocket, you know, we could pull it out. And you know, really, if any one of us look either in our pockets, our cars, our homes, we may find something that we unwittingly let become the source of wisdom, the source of knowledge, the source of power. And so if you discover one of those, just, you know, challenging, just get rid of it. And ask yourself, have I slipped to the point where I'm putting some of my faith in this object, and have I exchanged it for the incorruptible God, the one that I should depend on? It's said so often here in America, I just hate to repeat it because it's kind of worn out, but money, you know, our jobs, our paychecks, we can turn those into gods, right?
Thank you.
Yep. And the phone, the iPhone? Yeah.
It makes you think you're smart.
Yeah.
That's why they're called smartphones.
Yeah.
I got a good one, Mark.
Yeah?
Before I was born again, before God was born again, she was Roman Catholic. She gave me a St. Christopher medal. Mm-hmm. Nice one. I mean, it was artistic and, you know, heavy chain and stuff. So I wore that. And I thought, oh, great, I'm covered. Because this guy protects travelers and stuff like that, or something. So it's kind of good luck thing now. Mm-hmm. I felt good because I had that covering.
Yeah. It's easy to slip into.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's anybody in the world that, as a people and a culture, that shouldn't be duped by stuff like this, it would be us, you know? And we have so much information available to us, so much knowledge and wisdom available to us. You would think, if anybody would not be fooled, it would be us. Well, as I said, wherever you find yourself on the political spectrum, and I do want to comfort you, everyone here, to say that there's people on all sides of the political spectrum here as part of the church. It is not just one political party. But wherever you find yourself, have you gotten to the point where your political views have superseded God? The views that you have of God, or even more importantly, what God says is true. Well, there's this process that Paul is teaching us here in Romans. It began that we knew God, but we didn't. We ceased to honor him. We stopped honoring quite so much. And then we exchanged this incorruptible God for other things. And then our foolish hearts were darkened. And we began to worship these other things. Well, what did God do? What is God doing? What does God do when he sees that happening? And it's my conviction, and time will prove me whether I'm right or wrong, that this is where we're at in our country.
Yep.
We've exchanged it. So what has God done? Go down to verse 28. Here is the result. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So, you know, we're frustrated. We look out at our family, our friends, the community, and they're doing things that just, you know, we're aghast. We can't believe it. I mean, how stupid can it be? But they're not in their right mind. God has turned them over and let this depraved mind take control. And it is spiritually driven, a demonically spiritual driven. It's not God-driven. The depraved mind is not God-driven. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Malice is not just being angry or bad. It's planning it. It's premeditated. You know, intentionally. You know, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. You know, it's not just too good enough to participate in previous evil. They got to invent their own evil. You know, I don't know. As I look through the way some of our Americans are behaving, this list just fits us to a T. Disobedient to parents. Oh, I mean, we struggle with that all day long. All week long. Every week we have that issue. Without understanding. Untrustworthy. I mean, untrustworthy. You know, Jesus teaches us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And it's become a joke in this community that when you hire somebody to do a job for you, they may not show up. Or if they do show up, in the off chance they show up, they're showing up late. Or if they show up late, they don't actually do what they say they're going to do. Right? Isn't that what we all say?
I had a client tell me, you weren't supposed to be here today. We had an appointment today, but I figured 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's the expectation. It's sad. Unloving. Unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And it's not just those of us that might do these things on this list in Romans 1, but if we approve of them, I don't really do it, but, you know, teach his own, they should be able to do that if they want. We're not even supposed to be approving of them. What does Scripture say about us? When we think this way, we act this way. Let's continue on in Romans 2. There's a word for it. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. So what's the word for that?
Condemnation? Hypocrisy?
Let them answer. Hypocrite is the answer. Mm-hmm. Right? You say one thing and then you do another. Hypocrite. 2. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? It's a funny question, but that's what we think. It's always the other guy. You know, they're the problem, or they're the one that needs to be judged, not me. Even though I'm doing it, you know, I have a good heart.
The thing that bothers me in our country, pretty much in line with what you're saying here, about giving hearty approval to those who practice. What's worse is not saying anything. Where's the church when these things are being practiced, like abortion and everything, that God certainly hates? Who is speaking out? Who is standing up and saying, you know, no, we shrink into nothingness, because if we have no opinion at all, now the abundance is stirred up in the heart, the mouth speaks. Some things just have to be stood up for. You know, when we think that are being wrong or done, we agree by not doing anything, by not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, the thing that we're not talking about is this fear that we have. We're afraid we're going to be politically incorrect, even in church. I mean, it's in church. Let's not talk about homosexuality right now, even though the last two verses that we just sort of glossed over were really about that. And when you're calling out, where's the church? Where's the church? They're kind of off doing their own thing, leaving a bunch of people out there to stand alone and not. This political correct movement is violent, and they preach tolerance, and the people that are screaming tolerate are the most intolerant. And that's where our persecution begins. And that's what Pastor's saying. That's where we're at. And one of the reasons we're here is because we believe that tolerance, because it sounds so much like what Christianity teaches, to tolerate the sinner and not the sin.
Don't judge.
But we're in trouble, man. We're the minority. And a lot of good people, for good reasons, have pulled their kids out of school and pulled themselves out of community and walled themselves off because it's frightening out there. But like I said, it's left a lot of good people, a lot of people who would stand if they had one person stand beside them.
Every time we stand up for the truth, we're on our own.
Yeah, and they shot at pretty bad.
Retaliation.
Yeah. The retaliation is violent and it's socially backed up. And people are like, yeah, you're one of those scumbag Christians because you don't tolerate homosexuality and you have the audacity to actually say something about it. Where is the church? That's a good question.
Well, today we're going to leave out of here and they're going to know where the church is.
This whole thing that you're describing sounds like you're describing every newscaster that I've ever listened to. Backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud. You know, I had been getting up in every morning and turning on the news. And I couldn't understand why I was getting more and more away from the Lord and more depressed. So I called, and I don't care if you listen to Farrah Balance or Rachel Maddow. They're all full of doo-doo. None of them are speaking the truth. And the authority that they have is not the authority of God. And so I canceled all my news channels, and I replaced it with Andy of Mayberry and Gunsmoke. And my life really started to make a little sense, but if we're getting our truth from the news, that's about as far as the Lord as we get, is my opinion. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't listen to that at all, because there's nothing good in it. I just did this Google search trying to find a fair and balanced news, and I went all over the world, and it just does not exist. Every news is slanted to what they believe, and what they believe will sell more.
That's what they do to distract us.
Yeah, I think it even says that in the Bible, that politics is a distraction.
Mm-hmm. They're tailbearers.
They know what they're doing.
And we're letting it do it now. We're not
yep.
And so where do we hear the news? We find the news in the prophets of today. We find the news in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a prophetic word that went out, and I'm so glad you said what you did. It's so good to hear your voice, Ben. I missed it. But a word went forth that there will be such a conviction on the news media as a result of the changes and the accountability that is coming forth in our country, that we will see people leaving the news industry. People who we have favored, loved, for whatever reason. There's no judgment there. I'm a newsie, too. I love it. But like you, I found myself feeling frustrated and angry, always slated. So I'm like, God, where's your voice? Where's your voice, Lord? And I just have been praying about the prophets of God, that it rise up, and let's hear it, let's test the word. It's there.
I think, too, Pastor, that in each one of us, in our walk with the Lord, maybe we aren't rising up as a group of Christians or doing like done the March for Life and stuff like that, and that's good, but I believe the Lord touches hearts one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And if I was just listening better to the Lord, I believe He'd give me opportunity for that one-on-one in a loving way. Not that I'm perfect, you know? But
I read this book, Conversation with God, and it says, this one guy was saying, you know, I kept reading it, and it's like, she said, God wasn't listening to me. Well, it's not that God isn't listening, it's like, we are the ones that are not listening.
Yeah.
He hears everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's continue on. We're in verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And so there's a principle there for us. As individuals, we need to be kind and loving to others, even though we may be in conflict with them, even though they may be completely different than us. Verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Let that be said of us. Let that be our approach. Verse 8, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation will be theirs. So we have this contrast, these two contrasts, these two threads, these two directions. And as we go through our study today, you know, let us determine which one we're going to take on, which one we're going to be pressing for. You know, one of the things that I think all of us find particularly disturbing in our society and in the politics and all that is that the name-calling and labeling. You know, when we were raising our kids, we would not call them names. We would never say, you idiot. We might say to them, well, that's not a very smart thing to do, but we wouldn't call them an idiot. And when we start calling names and labeling, destructive. So that's a very simple one to refrain from as Christians. When we start to name, call, and label, we are creating two sides. We're creating a divide between us and whoever we're doing that. And it's not to say that their behavior is that, but let us not label them such as that. Okay. I think what we often forget is that God has this political platform. And it's this list of 10 great suggestions that he's written in. Or, no, man, commandments.
You call them suggestions. Commandments.
Yes. Just seeing if you're listening. As we go through them, I think and I hope that this will illustrate how far off the mark we've gotten as a society. You know, which things are legal and which things are illegal today. Okay, so according to God, this is what he says. The number 10 on the top 10 list. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that's his. We do that all day long. I mean, that's part of our American DNA. You know, we're coveting. And the interesting part about coveting is we're just preparing to steal. Right? You know, covet. You have something that I admire, desire, and I want. Well, you know, it's obviously not mine. It's not supposed to be mine. So, in my heart, you know, I got to come up with a way to get that. And is coveting illegal? Do you know any of your friends that are in jail for coveting? No, don't think so. But according to God, it's a pretty significant sin. In fact, I think that so much of our media and our commercials and everything is all about inspiring that coveting desire in us. You know, we have the marketing makes us want it. Unfortunately, sometimes we want the things that we're not supposed to want. And think about that. You know, it prepares us to steal. It prepares us for adultery. You know, has anybody ever heard or even personally participated in an affair with a married person? Yeah, you know, I have. Not while I've been married. I want to assure you that. In case Adrian listens to this, whatever.
I have to confess, I'm coveting that pickup truck of yours after you let me use it the other day.
Well, now, is that coveting or is that just admiring?
You can have it, really.
So number 9 is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Have we heard enough false witness or lie going on in our atmosphere over the last months and years? I mean, it's not, Have you ever, this is the craziest thing. Why do they have fact checkers? Why should there be a fact checker industry? Why should there be a fact checker association? You know, this is an association of a bunch of companies that are fact checkers. And what are they doing? They're checking to see, it should be called lie checking, you know, really. But it wouldn't exist if everybody told the truth. The liars would not be lying if we didn't fall for it. I was reading this morning, and Vince was telling me the other day about all of this false news thing that's going on Facebook. And people believe it. It's a lie. It's an outright lie. And we pass it on. How many of you have gotten those forward emails of stuff? You know, the first thing you better do is fact check it before you get all riled up. There are websites like Snopes and others. You can check to see if this it's a fact. And we really shouldn't even believe what we get anyway, because if once we start repeating it, we're a gossip.
Exactly.
But isn't that what Scripture just said we become? When we exchange God for an idol, we become gossips.
And God is not going to strike you dead because you don't forward somebody that's going to pray. You're going to die if you don't pray for them. God is not going to strike you dead.
Thank you for that. Yep. That was
Mark, for those of us who are my age, growing up, I remember Walter Cronkite, and every night when that's he ended his newscast, he'd say, "That's the way it is."
And that's the way it was.
And you never knew if he was left. You never knew if he was right. He just spoke the news.
Yeah.
And that has turned into just talebearers.
I don't even think there was the term left or right back then.
But that's just how far we've gone.
Yeah, it is. You know, and what's happening here is, again, what's our source of authority? Is it Facebook? Is it Hollywood? Is it the world out there?
Facebook.
The reason, you know, marketing companies and political groups hire people that we know, like movie stars, musicians, sports athletes, is because if they speak something, we're dumb enough to believe it just because we admire them in what they do and we believe their opinion. So again, when you speak something, an opinion or conviction to someone else, I hope this little bell goes off in your head. But wait a minute, what's my source of authority? Where did I hear that? Where did that start?
Oh my God.
Did it start, you know, from a movie star or a Hollywood or my favorite musician or my favorite quarterback, or did it start with God? Thou shalt not commit, or no, I skipped one. Thou shalt not steal. Is this one legal or illegal? You know, do you go to jail if you steal?
Well, I used to think you could not legislate morality, but now we're legislating immorality. We're taking some things on this list and we're making the laws just the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, before we get too, self-righteous, consider the many ways that we can steal and not get arrested for it, not go to jail. You know, anymore, if you write a bad check, you know, you're not going to go to jail. It's just the way it is. It's illegal.
Why even do it?
But you're not going to go to jail. You might get a little civil penalty, slap on your wrist, whatever. But you're not going to go to jail. You might have to pay an overdraft fee. But it's, you know, you're not going to go to jail. What about when you pirate cable? You know, Danny and I were sitting with in the hot springs with this guy that had a business, a cable TV business, spanning Southwest Colorado and Arizona, and he was telling us about his business and. So, yeah, you could just go hook up a cable box and get cable free. You know, here's a guy selling it. He makes his living selling it. And he's telling me how to hook it up for free. I don't think I'm going to do that. First of all, I'm not sure I want to watch anything on your stupid cable. But food stamps. That's another common one.
Amen.
Where we steal. You know, you can, if you trade food stamps or money on your food card for something else, you're stealing, because that's not what it's for. And it is on paper against the law, but nobody goes to jail for it because it's done all the time. It's survival, but it's not right.
What about copying something that's copyrighted?
Yes.
And you see nothing wrong with that, but you've just taken $15 from somebody,
right,
who,
so if you,
especially
if you
Christian
copy
music,
a CD, oh, or yeah, somebody else's music, you're stealing.
So I thought it was fine because it was Christian music. And, oh, it's going to be edifying. Just copy it all, and then I'll have all this music to worship God with. But what I really did was rob that artist of his income.
Yeah. In fact, when we show movies here in the church, we pay for a license to show it. It costs $99. How are they going to possibly know if I just buy a movie for $3.99 and show it? They're not going to know. But I don't want to be standing before God saying, oh, yeah, right, I did buy that.
I'm going to hell for $3.
So, you know, but if I do it, I'm not going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our society has gone so far from these commandments here. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Our whole society is built on adultery. It is the God of America, it seems, you know, adultery in all of its various forms. It's a sad situation. And in case there's any doubt, adultery is any kind of sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman. So if you're living together and you have sex, that's adultery. That's why we encourage anyone who is in that situation, come and get married. We'll marry you for free. You know, pornography, looking at it, that's adultery. Well, I could go on and on, but in homosexuality, you know, that is adultery in and of itself. Thou shalt not kill or murder. Well, this is one where if we kill or murder somebody, we'll go to jail. Oh, wait a minute. Not all the time.
Not anymore.
You know, we could kill a baby and not go to jail. We can kill an old person who's got a serious illness and not go to jail. It's legal. Let's see, how else can we kill people without going to jail?
You also get a penalty and often for killing an animal now as opposed to killing a human.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they say just like an animal is really actually your family member. It's like killing a family member.
Yeah.
Well, going to war. Now they have rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Going to war.
Yeah. Honor thy father and thy mother. If you don't honor your father and mother, do you go to jail? No. You know, America, a society, we just don't value mother and father. You know, the family. Sad to say, you know, other cultures, they do. You know, the family is pretty important to them. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, how many of you have gotten arrested for not doing that? Oh, I love that one. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, here's an interesting one. Most of us would say taking the Lord's name in vain means cussing, using his name as a cuss word, right? But not really. Not really. What this is referring about, taking the Lord's name in vain. What does vain mean? Let's look at the word vain. Vain means falsehood, selfishness, a few other things. And so when you look at the definition and you talk about taking the Lord's name in vain, if you make a vow to God, and you even tell others about it, but you don't do it, you've just taken the Lord's name in vain.
Or somebody like cursing God or something.
But that could be, but I'm saying that's a commonly thought one. But We like to let ourselves off the hook, say, oh, I no longer do that. Mm-hmm. But we can still be taking the Lord's name in vain. If you profess to be a Christian, and you get up on the stage and say, there are so many ways to heaven, so many ways to God, you've just taken the Lord's name in vain. Because what does Jesus say? So there's many ways that we can take the Lord's name in vain. But does anybody go to jail for it? No. It is not illegal in our society anymore. Number two, thou shalt not bring false idols before God. We already talked about that a little bit, and we do that. But let us be careful. Let us be attentive in our own life to see if we're doing that. Catch ourselves and stop doing it. And then finally, I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. So these two, does anybody go to jail for not having the Lord as a God? No. In fact, our country is getting to the point where it's saying it's almost illegal to have the Lord as your God. You know, these other religions are right. You need to respect them, and you need to encourage them, and not say anything bad about them. Don't speak about their truths and compare it against the Bible. So, but does anybody go to jail for it? No. We're gonna. It's flipping. It's reversing. We go to jail if we claim God as our Lord. So, again, anything that you say or believe, and I hope today in your mind, I've challenged you with something, or the Holy Spirit is challenging you with something, a belief, a conviction that you have, maybe a political view that you have, and you start to question it. But what do you do about it when you discover, wait, what's my source of authority? Again, what is our source of authority? It should be the Bible. We should be able to go back to Scripture and track that down. So if you think a political view is godly and right, like I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Research sanctuary cities. Research sanctuary cities. It's in the Bible. And it's a huge debate in our country right now. See what the Bible says about sanctuary cities. Don't go spouting off what you hear on Facebook or your favorite news channel. Go to Scripture. See what it says about sanctuary cities.
Well, we're all here today, so we're all going to be paid.
Okay, so what should we be doing? You know, I feel like I spent a lot of time on the bad news. What should we be doing?
I know what we should be doing. God spoke to me the other day, and I was really getting down because just you know, everything that's going on in the world. And people started attacking me. Christian people started attacking me over political things and things that had no meaning. And as I got down and more depressed, God said to me, why don't you go out and find the holy in the unholy places? And he led me to the passage where Jacob laid down with the stone. And with just a normal place, and it was just a normal stone. But Jacob got up, he was all excited, and he goes, God has been here. And so I went into Walmart to find God the other day. I said, Lord, I'm just not going to leave here until I find something that's worthy of you. And from up until now, Walmart for me has been like, oh my God, I got to go into Walmart. You know, it's full of Walmartians. And
can I steal that?
Huh?
Can I steal that? Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had such a good experience talking to the pharmacist and thanking her for helping me and going around. And I went down to the hot springs. And boy, if you want to witness to somebody, go to the hot springs and sit there. Because everybody starts relaxing and they're open. What do you do? What do you do? And you have such a great opportunity to bring some holy into those places. And the world is so messed up. They don't need us telling them, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. What they need to be asking us is, how come you're so darn happy when the world's going to hell in a handbasket? And I think that's the... That's,
you know,
what God's here with.
There's
me.
A store I saw over near City Market. They have a sign that says there's a big Jesus sale. Maybe you should go in there.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Has anybody been in there? Because I want to know what that's about. I have been fighting every time I go by that sign. I'm like,
there's a the owner's name.
It's the owner.
Jesus.
The owner's name is Jesus.
Yeah, that's Jesus sale.
Well, I'm glad I didn't fall for that. I probably would have bought some kind of
thing. Mark, I just want to be obedient on that last slide. In your question to us about sanctuary cities, the Holy Spirit said we're all to ask ourselves, too, where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our time, our energy? And what do we value and what do we think about? Because if he's not in that... In those areas, he's those top three of his. We're not there. And we all get off. So we need to ask ourselves that this week.
This sounds totally off base, but it really hits home. And all this strife and turmoil we have going on now, and all the trouble that D.C. is in and our country is in, the one thing that proves that God is still in control is in Washington, D.C., less than a half a block from the White House, they're building the museum, Bible Museum. 460,000 square feet of the Bible as a museum for people to come and see.
Cool.
So
great.
There's some. There is hope.
So what should we be doing? Let's look to Scripture here. Everybody has some great contributions on what we should be doing. And I love seeing the growth in faith and obedience. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. I'm just going to try to read through to verse 29. I know I have a bad habit of stopping along the way. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Now, before you tune out and say, oh, yeah, that's the Gentiles, recognize that what this is saying is those that are outside the community, the family of God, the non-believers, and we need to be careful that we don't walk like they do. We were once Gentiles. We were once outside the family. We've been brought in. Verse 19. And by the way, ignorance is not really a name or a label. It's just a term of lack of recognition and knowledge. 19. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. In other words, they're doing it passionately.
If it feels good, do it. That's what they're...
And do it all the way.
Yeah.
20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We are to do that firstly, put on the new self. 25, therefore, laying aside each falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're connected. We're members of one another. We're family. We're not disconnected. We're not our own person, our own isolated person. We're connected. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands, what is good? Why? You know, if you stop right there and you ask, why should I do that? Well, he answers it. So that he will have something to share with one who has need. You know, this goes well beyond him saying, so that you will have what you need. You know, work so you'll have what you need. No. It's work so you can have something to share with those that have something that in need. That's crazy. But that's what God wants us to do. 29. But let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Remember that word, malice? And finally, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And this gives us that motivation to forgive others when they don't seem like they're worthy of forgiving. So the answer to the questions, what should we be doing, is in verse 1 of chapter 5. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. If you think about it, so often we're imitating something else, somebody else. We should strive to imitate God. If you're going to imitate God, you have to take some time to get to know what God's behavior is like, what he's like. So, unfortunately, many who embrace views outside the Bible are not saved. So don't get in an argument with them. Look to their heart. You know, worry about the number one thing. Genuine faith is reflected, it's evidenced by a love for God and his word. A love for him and a love for his other children. Sincere humility. True repentance and a disconnect from the world. And so the challenge today is, does your life reflect these things? Is your source of authority God's word? Amen. You know, I am just, I don't have no idea what time it is, but it feels like we went on a long time. And I'm on. But I'm grateful because you guys really contributed something here in all the discussions. So, but let's gather together. Let's not leave without praying for one another. We've had a few significant prayer needs come up. And let's pray for one another.
Oh, I'll turn the thing off.
Yeah, thanks.